Are you a business owner stuck in fear, doubt, and worry about what the marketplace will look like in the future? Then this show is for you. Strap on your seatbelt and get ready to disrupt and innovate. Here's your host, Lisa Levy.
Welcome to the Disrupt and Innovate podcast. Today, I would love to introduce you to Erica Holthausen, a seasoned professional in marketing and brand strategy. Erica's journey blends corporate and agency experience, showcasing her expertise in marketing strategy, brand development, and digital marketing. What sets Erica apart? Well, she understands that as a consultant, sharing unique perspective is key to attracting the right clients and projects. Erica's been in your shoes working with a growing boutique consulting firm that's faced common challenges. Now, her mission is to help consultants like us shift their businesses to attract their ideal clients, projects, and partners. Even if you aren't a consultant, the perspective is incredibly valuable. So join me today in this insightful discussion with Erica. And remember, your perspective is your power, and it's time to share it. Erica, welcome to the conversation.
Oh, thank you so much, Lisa. I'm so excited to be here.
I am so excited to have this conversation with you because you love to play with everything. And that just speaks to me so closely and so dearly because I think everything is an experiment. And the more that we tinker and play, the more that we learn. And the more that we learn, the more that we can do.
Yes, exactly.
That's a lot of words.
A lot of words, but all the right ones.
You're so kind. In this, right, I'll do that introduction, but the audience really truly learns and resonates from you sharing your story. So will you take us on the journey of how you got to where you are today and why today is important to you?
Yeah. So like so many of us, my journey has not at all been straight and has not been directly uphill. It has sort of been the roller coaster from hell that ended up in a good place. So how does that happen, right? You know, it's a really interesting different places that took me. I mostly followed my curiosity. So when I was much younger, I really wanted to be an attorney. And then I was told by a teacher that I could never be an attorney. So of course, I became an attorney. because nobody's going to tell me what I can and cannot do. Sometimes that has served me well. Sometimes that has been biting off my nose to spite my face. But ended up going to law school at the University of Virginia, practiced law in Boston. And not long after I started, quickly realized, okay, this is not at all what I want to do. Left the practice of law, tried to figure out, okay, what is next? Literally lived in a big yellow school bus studying the environment for a semester. That was sort of the break between law and then whatever the heck was going to be next. And again, followed my curiosity. Part of why I had wanted to become an attorney was so I could make a difference. So then I ended up in the nonprofit sector. And it was in the nonprofit sector, working for a museum in Maine, that I ended up meeting my very first editor. And she was an editor at a local home and garden magazine and asked me if I wanted to write for her. And that sort of started this journey. And it was something that I never expected. I did not go to school for writing. I did not go to journalism school. And all of a sudden, that was what I was doing. And it has been the one thing that has been consistent through all of the other changes for the last 20 something years.
I love a couple of points that you make in there, right? The connection and the willingness to follow your curiosity, right? Our curiosity is something that oftentimes in our corporate and professional worlds, we learn not to follow.
Yeah.
Especially if you aren't in a creative space, if your work isn't in that creative space, that we sort of learn to follow the rules, but not necessarily our curiosity, and that this has taken you on a really interesting journey, really going from rule following the law, right?
100%.
The letter of the law to, you know, environmental impact, but really making that shift into that nonprofit space. But that the key underneath that, and for this audience, is so important, right? The desire to make a difference, right? To challenge what's going on that challenge the status quo and not accept it.
Yeah.
So with what you're doing today, what are the things that you see are most important, the differences that you want to make?
I think the biggest difference that I am trying to make, so the big thing that I do is help people become better writers and then get their writing out into the world through publishing on third-party platforms. And I come out of the content marketing and advertising space, so I have some problems with content marketing and advertising. It has created, there's so much junk on the internet. There's so much bone basic waste of my time stuff to read on the internet, and so much pressure to put out more and more and more, faster and faster and faster, that we have started to prioritize quantity over quality. And now with generative AI, frankly, we can now generate even more mediocre junk faster. So the big shift that I'm trying to make is, all right, slow down, especially people who really have something to offer. Slow down and focus on the quality and what you can really put out there that is actually anchored in value, as opposed to just more noise.
And there is so much noise, right? This conversation is going to go out on the internet, and there are those who can argue that we're creating noise. I would like to say that this is beautiful noise, and that it is something that makes an impact if we help someone think differently.
Yeah.
And while the show is titled Disrupt and Innovate, and I spend a lot of time talking about cutting edge technology, I love the comment that you just made. We need to slow down and focus on the quality so that we're delivering value.
Yeah.
And that equation has been so lost in do more, do faster, do nothing that sounds like anything different than anybody else. How are you helping your clients slow down and find that, get to quality and show value?
Yeah, great question. So a lot of it is having good conversations. And like this one. So one thing I would say is that this isn't adding, you can either add to the noise or you can add to the conversation. If you're adding to the conversation, by definition, you are not adding to the noise. Noise is just stuff we all want to tune out. So a lot of that is about having conversations, figuring out what is it that you actually want to say. One of the things I always ask folks to think about is, in their industry, read and consume as much stuff as you can. Who are the leaders in your industry? And go one step further. Ask yourself, look for those phrases that they use or things that they say that make you say, yes, and, or yes, but, or no, because that's where you're adding nuance and depth, and that's where you're adding to the conversation and not just adding to the noise. So it's all about developing your perspective, and that can take some time.
It's an interesting statement, right? Because I think I'm going to get in trouble with this one, but generationally, depending on where you are in your journey, we've lost sight of reading and learning and connecting and digging deep. Right. And that we've already talked about the noise, the more faster little bits that don't mean anything, but taking the time to stop, read, learn, have an original thought, and then share that is critical. Otherwise, we are in the echo chamber and nothing of value comes out of that. And as you know, myself, right, I've published a book that is truly mine. I've contributed to a couple of collaborative work efforts. It is really important to stop and think about, what do I want to say? Why does it matter, right? That so yeah. What?
Yeah.
And there have been three occasions that just popped into my head randomly where I walked away from projects because I didn't have anything to say.
Yeah.
Right. And we have to be able to take that moment and go, yeah, thank you. I appreciate you thinking I have value in this space, but I don't think I do.
Well, and that's such a big part of it too, right? Is like every single thing that we do, either enhances or diminishes our reputation. So if we are presented with an opportunity that sounds really great, and we're smart cookies, so we can pretty much talk about anything, and I'm very opinionated, so I can definitely talk about anything, even if I have no qualifications to talk about it. But if we're presented with that opportunity, the temptation is to say yes, because we also come from a place of wanting to be of service. But that is not necessarily going to serve the audience that that's going to, and it's not going to serve you, because it's going to confuse people as to what it is that you stand for and do. So if you can take that opportunity that's actually not an opportunity for you, it's a distraction, and give it to somebody for whom it is a great fit, now you have served the audience, you have served the person who gave you the opportunity, you have served the person who is now able to take that opportunity and run with it, and you haven't hurt your own reputation.
Absolutely. And right, knowing what your personal brand is important, because you stand for something, I stand for something. And for those who have listened long enough, or those who know me very personally, know that I have lots of different perspectives always in my head, and they're all true to me, but they can come from some very strange directions depending on the set of circumstances, and making sure that I say yes to the right things that really are important.
Yeah.
It is important, because I can talk about anything, and we'll turn it around in many different perspectives just to play with the idea, because thought experiments are my favorite way to invest time.
Yes.
And to waste time.
Yes. You are my people.
Right. I can go down and play in a rabbit hole forever.
Uh-huh.
In the last little bit you were talking about, you started talking, right, and speaking to, right, the audience. So yeah. As we're getting ready to write something, speak on a topic, whatever that might be, right, we have an audience. An audience is also a form of our customer.
Mm-hmm.
You made the very strong point earlier that we have to derive value. I want to make the connection that that value that we're talking about is the value in the eyes of the audience or the customer who's buying something from us. It's yeah. not what we think is valuable.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's How not what we want them to do. The thing that we are sharing will help them do that serves them, not the call to action, which is a content marketing concept, which is like, at the end of this, you're going to do this, and you're going to sign up for my website, or you're going to sign up for my newsletter, or you're going to download this hoodie thing. That's not anchored in value, and that is not serving them, that's serving you. So it has to also be about, okay, what can I share with this specific audience? These are the folks I'm talking to right now. What can I share with them that is going to allow them to change their mindset, their thinking, or their behavior?
Yes. And that is the value that they will derive from that interaction with you, whether it's in written word, spoken word, in a business transaction, their impact, right? Their mindset, their thought, their behaviors. Those are the things that when they change for the better, they get value.
Yeah. Cause we're in this business for transformation, right? Like, we're not in this business to meet somebody and then be like, see ya. And oh, look, they're in the exact same place they were before I encountered them. That's not why we do what we do.
No, it's absolutely not why we do what we do. If you were going to share 3 ideas with the audience today of something that they can do to increase the value that they're offering through their words, mm-hmm. what would those 3 pieces of advice be?
So the first is, before you put out anything, whether it's a post on LinkedIn, an email newsletter, an article, a speech, whatever it is, do what I call a SOAR analysis. So SOAR stands for, the S is serve. Who does this serve? So that's, who is your audience? And be specific about what that particular thing, what that thing that you are putting out, who is that geared towards? The O is objective. What is the objective of this thing that you are doing? In other words, why should that specific audience care? What's in it for them? The third is A, action. That comes back to how will this, what is the action that they will be able to take? So how will it either change their behavior, mindset, or thinking? And then the final, which in some ways is the first, is that question about reputation. And it's the filter. Will this enhance or diminish the reputation that you are seeking to build? And if it will diminish, don't do it. If it will enhance, green light.
Absolutely awesome. I use a SOAR acronym in strategic planning that had the words mean different things, but I love that. So everybody who is listening, that's SOAR. Serve. How does this serve? Does it meet the objective? What is the action? And the R, reputation. How does it affect your reputation? SOAR. That is absolutely beautiful and actionable and something that everybody who's listening can use today.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you were to look into the crystal ball and look 5 years into the future, where do you think the impact of our words is going to be in 5 years? What does the future look like?
Our words and how we think and how we express ourselves is at the very core of being human. I very strongly believe that, yes, a lot more content will be created that will not be great content, but it will also be easier to rise above all that noise by having something that does really provide value. And I think more and more people are looking for that. I think, I'll give generative AI its due. It is definitely disruptive. It's going to disrupt all the things, including search engine optimization, including how publications are creating content, what they are doing, how companies are allowing the folks that they hire. So how companies are allowing consultants to even use generative AI. That's starting to show up in contracts now. I think the power of the world will be of the word will be even more powerful 5 years from now. Historically, I mean that it has always been the thing. It is the thing that makes us human and allows us to connect. So yeah.
I love that. And at a point in time in I'm gonna dig deep into this for a second, but in US history where words, there's so much rhetoric. And it is challenging the very core values of everything around us that you see in 5 years that there is that opportunity that this will be better and that we will be back. We will be able to use words the way that they were intended again and minimize the noise because we will get to that point where we are driving value because we're creating quality in our content and our thoughts and what we're putting out there. That is absolutely one of the most optimistic views I've heard recently, and I love it.
Well, and I think that's part of it too. Like we are getting tired of all the noise all the time and all the interruptions and all the shenanigans and all of the like constantly getting barraged with everything. We are looking for places where we can think deeply and intentionally. We're looking for places where we can get away. One of my favorite places to think is actually when I'm tromping through the woods, because suddenly my brain works and I'll make connections to things that I couldn't see because I was too close to it. And I think that is changing, because at the end of the day, we get to choose the future we want to create. And if we just give up and say the robot overlords are here, just give them our power, then we created that future. And if we say, no, I'm going to vive la resistance. I am going to keep resisting this. And this is something that's important to me. And I am going to live by these values that also shows other folks that there's a different way to do this. And it is going to bring back more, you know, critical thinking is something that is absolutely essential. And I think in some ways we are, you know, we moved away from that, but now we're kind of forcing ourselves to be like, oh, we need to think critically because I can't trust the things that I used to think I could trust.
Absolutely. We have talked through so many fabulous things today, Erica, starting with, right, the idea that we need to lean in and always be curious, mm-hmm. that the things that we do, if we are not making a difference, we as individuals are probably not satisfied with what we're doing. And it's important to find the things that you can do that actually you feel like you're making a difference. The topics of really getting to adding value and what that means to an audience or to a consumer. The power of words and how we want to amplify and add value, right? So if we have, or we're listening to thought leaders, our value is in the yes and, the yes but, and the yeah, nope, and the reason why you don't disagree with all of that. You took us through your SOAR model so that we have the serving and the objective, the action and the reputation. You have shared so much with this audience. If they have any desire and curiosity to reach you, how would they find you?
So my website is the easiest place. It's catchlinecommunications.com. And the only social media platform I am on, which is delightful, is LinkedIn. So you can also find me there. And I'm very active. I'd also love to just say, I host a free mini training and Q&A every month. So if you are curious or you just have a question or you just want a little more information, that can be a great thing to come to. And you can find more information about that both on LinkedIn and my website.
Absolutely wonderful. Erica, thank you for sharing that with the audience. And audience members, you know my rules. Don't get left behind. Join me next time.
That's it for today's episode of Disrupt and Innovate. Head over to iTunes and subscribe to the show. Every single week, one lucky listener that posts a review on iTunes will win the grand prize drawing, a $15,000 private VIP day with Lisa Leiby. And be sure to head over to disruptandinnovate.com and get your free copy of Lisa's gift and join us on our next episode.